Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. For our radio audience tuning in at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all can be with us. Also, tuning in to our online affiliates around the world, thanks to our podcast, we're glad you all could be with us as well. I think all of us, as we kind of look at our lives, we think about not only, of course, our own experiences, but the impact we've been able to have on others. Our next guest has written a book that really does take a look at his own life and experiences, but also allows us to be able to see the connections we all can make. We're excited to welcome Nikki's dad to our broadcast today to discuss the book, The Warrior Within, but also about the power of telling stories in books and what it's been like for them to be able to do that and connect with people that way as well. If you all are just now finding out about The Warrior Within, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of the book, as well as, of course, how to stay connected. Nikki's dad, thank you so much for the time today. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
So I think it's so fascinating what you've been able to do in writing a book like The Warrior Within, but also in choosing how you want to be able to speak to the world. So I want to begin there. What has it been like for you to see the way that people have responded to your work, but also the messages you want to share?
It's been enlightening. There have been a lot of stories that I've shared. Not that anybody – I was never expecting anybody to follow the same path, only for them to be able to see that they could connect to something and apply it to their own life and maybe move beyond whatever was blocking them. And when you see or feel that light go off, it's been overwhelming. And again, you're not sitting there with an expectation of a thank you or anything like that. You're just sharing it because you want that person to succeed beyond whatever it is they're struggling with. And that is just refreshing, and being able to share that. And then for them, hopefully, they move beyond, and then they can maybe take their story and share it with someone else.
So I want to ask you, when did you first know that you had something that you wanted to share? I think a lot of people out there, Nikki's dad, will be listening to a conversation like this and think, you know what? I've had these thoughts, I've had these feelings, I've had these, what I see as epiphanies and revelations, and I just wondered if anyone would care. What made you take that step to be able to have the courage to share?
Well, I've had the ideas or the thoughts for easily probably a decade or two, but I would jot stuff down here and there. I guess what the triggering event was, I had actually already started writing. I had completed my first draft of The Warrior Within, and my intention was just to write my own story so that I wouldn't have to go into the verbal explanation with a significant other, because I didn't know if I'd have the emotional strength to do that. But as I was talking to people and sharing some of the stories, strangers would come up, you know, and just say, you need to write a book. And I'm like, okay. I didn't think I would have shared it. And then someone out of the blue had said that, and it's like, oh, I guess I really need to not only write this, which I've already done, but I need to publish it. So yeah. That's when I started making the decision to publish it, because I had already started writing the second one during this time frame. And some of the events in the second, if you look at it, that's where it pops. That's where it connects. So I'm like, no, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be a Stephen King. It just means that somebody might benefit from what I have to say. And that's why I decided to go ahead and publish it.
So it sounds like then in hearing you say that, that you realized that this was bigger than you. Is that also why you decided not to use your name?
Yes, in two ways, yeah. The reason why I decided to use Nikki's dad was in honor of my dog, Nikki, who was my best friend for 14 and a half years. And I wanted people to focus on the message, not the messenger. Because you see today that when someone doesn't like the message, they're going to attack the messenger, and that's no more evident in our politics. But what was overpowering and it's in the book, the story that there's an image on page 134 of The Warrior Within, and the story behind it, when I was asking questions out loud to God, where was he in this? Where are my guardian angels? And I happened to turn and look at my dining room wall, and I saw an image on the wall. That gave me the answer I was didn't know I was looking for, that I was the one who could withstand the storm. And that began the journey of recovering from the divorce, the emotional, I'll say the emotional abuse and everything else. And the things that I was going to write in, nobody likes that mirror put in front of them when you might be, or they don't want to see in themselves. And that's no worse than ourselves. When we don't like what we see in our own reflection, that's a challenge. So that's where I really drew strength from my Marine Corps experiences, boot camp throughout. And since, we've got to face ourselves. We've got to be honest. And it's that brutal honesty. We don't have to publish it. We don't have to advertise it. But we have to be brutally honest with ourselves and our reflection. And when we do that, it's more than empowering. It's enlightening, because you know no one will ever have any power or control over you after that. And that those two elements really spoke well to me as I decided to put this stuff down on paper and try and encourage people to do the same. Let's be honest with ourselves.
One of the powerful things for me, and I mentioned it to you actually before we went live here, Nikki said, is that you talk about your father, and something that a lot of, I think, young men can relate to, boys can relate to, and of course, not hearing the words, "I love you," from, you know, from their father, but I think expressing the expressions of it and the way it can come up. I thought about it for myself, with my stepdad and myself, because the way he was raised, it wasn't about saying it, was about providing, providing for your family, you know, making sure that you instill things in them. So the words seemed less important, but you talk about in the book though, about that experience. Talk to us about what that was like for you, to not only to see the love being expressed, but also knowing that he was there wanting the best for you.
That was a little bit hard to write about, because nobody wants, you know, every boy's father, you know, we put him on a pedestal, if you will. And to sit here and be honest about certain things, it can be a struggle to admit that, you know, your parents may not have been all that they could or should have been. And that's no fault of their own, unless they're doing it intentionally, that kind of thing. But one of the things that, when I look back, my father did a great job in that he provided a home. He did his best he could. But when I needed him the most, when I was struggling with a separation and divorce while I was in the military, and I was also being, I'll say, harassed in the military by the military in that way, he was my outlet. And I would talk to him probably every week to 10 days, and we would just vent, or, you know, we would not really vent, but we would go through things. He wanted to know how I was doing. He was always worried about me, but him taking the time to listen, it was tough for him, because he went through some of the same things in his first marriage and divorce, the kind of harassment that he would undergo and everything else. So, and he never talked about it, but I knew it was tough for him to relive that, because the things that I was going through, he did as well, something similar. So by him going through and talking and making sure that I knew I had him to talk to about anything, only showed me the depths of his love. And that right there, with all the other things that, you know, that I felt disappointed by, that I wrote about, like, you know, he would make an agreement with me when I wanted a bike when I was in high school. You know, it cost $120. So he said, "You come up with half, I'll pay the other half." Okay, well, I had the half, and then he didn't have the other half. So it was like, okay, so I got to pay for this myself. Okay, that's fine. And then the same thing happened again when my class rang. And again, that disappointment. But then my younger brother, he paid for it in full. And that kind of hurt, you know, early on. So coming full circle, you look back at it and you can say, okay, I don't hate the man. I love him. Didn't like some of the things he did, obviously. Hopefully I can do better. or I will do better. Not do, you know, it's not a competition, but I want to take the lessons that he taught me and do my best to expand on them. And that was probably one of the biggest things. He did not like liars or dishonesty. And that was really, and we can be dishonest with ourselves. We can lie to ourselves. That's why I come back and we've got to be honest with our reflection. We don't have to be perfect, but
right.
We do need to be honest. And those are the kind of small little things that when you can look back and reflect on them mean the most. And you can let go of any hurt or anger or pain that you might have felt towards them, and just reflect on the good thing aspect. You take the bad, you build on it, you make sure you don't do these things, but you take the love and you move forward with it. And that to me was it was like some shackles coming off, something that might have been preventing me. Not that it was, it might have been preventing me from moving forward, but I'm glad I was able to at least acknowledge that.
Yeah. And I think that imprint, too, that was left meant so much. You say this in the book, in the chapter, My Immediate Family. His physical presence was the rock that kept my siblings and me in line to a degree, calling out BS and not allowing petty things to get in the way of the bigger picture. Perfect, he wasn't. No one is. But the strength of his character and principle is part of my being, differing slightly. His is missed beyond the words. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. This book is really about letting go in a lot of ways, Nikki's dad, I think.
Yeah.
Letting go of things from ourselves, also, you know, our feelings about others, but also about knowing when something is not serving you well. You talk about in the book about, you know, even when it comes to association, how careful you are. And that is something I don't think a lot of people realize the importance of. When did you know that we all have heard that saying, we are the company that we keep. But you say in this chapter, teachers, students, messengers, and life lessons, as for me, I feel it is better to walk alone in the right direction than following the herd walking in the wrong direction. How close people get to me or how much I let them into my life depends significantly on the individual's character, actions, and impact on my life. How did you get there? Because that is such a struggle for people these days.
It is a struggle. I got there one step at a time, figuring it out, saying, okay, I didn't like this, I do like that. When you look at, you know, the relationships, the people that you meet, there's always energy. And you can feel when someone is always, they're like a broken record. They have a problem for every solution kind of thing. And when they walk in the room, you feel a weight come in. You feel like, God, there's something wrong. When you're in tune with yourself a little bit, you can pick up on the energies. And that was really kind of understanding what was I feeling, you know, to acknowledge yourself a little bit, but then where do we go from here? You don't have to always have the answer. Sometimes it takes a long time to come to that answer, or even you may still be searching for it. You have a majority of it, but you're still learning. And I guess that's part of the key in, we can learn things from other people. We can learn things from a three-year-old. We can learn things, obviously, from someone who's 93. But those people can also be a messenger, and we can be a messenger. We can be a teacher. There are those elements that you just, you'll pick up along the way, but the first and foremost is you've got to know yourself. What are the things that trigger you? What are the things that might upset you? And is it a person? Is it a thing? Is it a place? And that kind of, again, for myself, I didn't like liars, and okay, I had to be brutally honest with myself. And we see it a lot now where people try and manipulate. And again, a lot of times right now we see that so much in our political environment. You don't really get the sense of anybody really doing the right thing for the right reasons anymore. It's like they're all interested in keeping their job and not doing their job. Speaking of elected officials, and if nothing else in this world, we should all say that, no, politicians, and we know they do it very well, politicians above all things should not be able to lie, mislead, or misrepresent while they're speaking on the House or Senate floor, et cetera, because they're supposed to represent the best in us. They're our elected officials and the values that we hold dear. So, and looking at all the things that you're going to go through, what values do you want to be known for? Are you an honest person? Are you a trustworthy? Do you have integrity? Do you, when you give your word, do you keep it? It was really a lot of these little things that came together at one point in time. Nobody's perfect. Don't have to try to be, but just be better today than you were yesterday.
Yeah, such a great point. Another thing that we're able to see you talk about in the book that is also not very easy, Nikki's dad, is, of course, your own belief system and the evolution of it. Talk to us about that, what that was like for you to share.
That was a little bit of a struggle, and I joke a little bit, and I hope nobody gets offended. I always joke, I'll say, I grew up Catholic and I survived. Because it was a contradiction to me growing up and going to the catechism classes and everything else and being told that God is love. Okay, but then why would, you know, this and this? And I actually asked the priest one time, just when we're in church, because we would have to stand for certain things, we'd kneel for certain things, and we would sit. And he said that was part of the, I'll say the tradition of the church, and it go to showing some kind of a, I guess, a respect aspect to it. But when I looked at all this in my spirituality, I actually, the best way I could say it is, if nobody has read the book, The Shack, or seen that movie, to me, that is a very powerful. And I actually got the book this summer when I was writing The Warrior Within, and I knew I wanted to read it because I had seen the movie several times, and I felt that the book would be more powerful. But to me, yeah, whatever God you believe in, whatever spiritual deity that you believe in, it's love. And we are all on different spiritual journeys as a human being. And, you know, nobody knows until they pass on and whether or not they've met those life lessons that they've learned. And I think it's all, it's about getting closer to God, or, you know, whatever God you believe in, to getting closer to that light, that one light that surrounds us all. It is a struggle. But sometimes it's only in the struggle that we find out who we really are. Nobody comes out born, going to school and everything else, knowing and having what somebody might consider a perfect life, knowing really who they are, what they believe in. It's only through the trials that we go through that strengthen our metal, that say, okay, this is who I am, this is what I believe. Of course, you want to be flexible and maybe adjust your beliefs as you grow, but these struggles are meant to define us. And that's kind of how it came for me going through and determining what my faith and spirituality would be about. And that's why I love the Native American culture. I don't identify as Native American. I'm not. I just love their holistic approach to spirituality. And I think that's what religion was supposed to do for us, was to bring us closer to God. But unfortunately, depending on the church, it's political, it can be divisive, it really, it seems like a power struggle for some, and that's not what I want God, or who I believe God to be, or whatever spiritual being you want to go by. I don't believe that's who it's meant to be.
So with that being said, and again, you talk about in the book, about the importance of knowledge, but also not being gullible, which I think is a great reminder for people to make, and also about being informed. And I think a lot of times, you know, when we were looking at the world, one of the things that saddens me a little bit, and I'm an optimist and an optimistic person, Nikki's dad, is that people are so quick to just take what they're given instead of actually looking to things themselves. They just, it's all about the easy way. Right. And part of that is because I think the world we live in with technology and everything, we just accept what we see and then we move on from there. That does not seem to be the approach that you have taken, but it seems like that's because that's not the way even that you were growing up. So what do you hope people, as they're reading The Warrior Within, to realize not only about you being introduced to your story, but the warrior within themselves that they could be able to nurture and to grow?
Well, ultimately, you know, this thing about life, you know, the funny thing about life is that nobody's getting out of it alive. We are all going to pass on from this world to the next. And it seems like we, especially in America, we've become a disposable society when you look at, you know, appliances of all things. They're only giving you a 4 or 5 year warranty, and then they want you to buy you know, the extended warranty, and it's like, oh, my God. And then when something does break, it costs about two-thirds to fix it. And that's by design, because people want to take advantage of a situation, and they will do that to you. You know, a lie will go around the world three times before the truth gets out the door, and there are people that are going to take advantage of that. And we see that, again, with politicians, because most of the time when they're using emotional rhetoric or something that's a culture war issue, the next thing they're doing is they want you to donate to their campaign. So you can pretty much see and find out when more than your eyes are open. Again, you got to know who you are. And sometimes that does take the strength of the warrior to say, okay, I've got to acknowledge this about myself. I've got to basically do some due diligence here. And when you do that, you know, the less influence people will have over you. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't find people you respect and maybe you want to mirror something that they're doing, like a characteristic that they have. And it's like that. No, I love that. I want to be able to build that in myself. But when you have individuals who are going to come across and try and manipulate you, family might be one where they poor pitiful me and all, there's a sob story and it's always somebody else's fault. Or, you know, you'll see a panhandler on the side of the road at an intersection and they're asking for money, but and they're homeless, but they're smoking cigarettes and drinking a Pepsi or a Coke or, you know, whatever, and they're doing that every day. And it's like, okay, well, you got money for the cigarettes and you got money for the sodas and whatever else, but you're out here panhandling for money. Okay. So, again, getting back to knowing yourself and being aware of your surroundings and the people in your circle, that's going to be key to everything. Some people may be in your boat, but they're not helping you row. They're drilling holes in it when you're not looking. And to know these individuals is going to be helpful to you in making sure that those who are near and around you have only your best and, you know, their best intentions for you. They want to see you succeed. It's not a competition with them. Me succeeding doesn't mean you're not going to. That's the funny thing about some of the arguments that people make. Again, I'll go back to a little bit of politics. When somebody talks about an entitlement or a right, it's like, well, it's not a piece of pie that if I give you a right, it's taking away from mine. That's not the case. So stop reacting as though it is. And when you know yourself and you know what truth is and why somebody is saying something, or you can not emotionally respond to something, you can carry that with you in pretty much everything. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean that you're probably going to be a lot happier without the drama and the BS in your life. Because you don't want to go around it. Again, it's like that person that comes into a room and they're carrying so much negativity and toxicity, everybody in the room feels the weight of the world on it. It's like you just don't want that. So that's going to be key to knowing yourself and moving in that direction. And as far as being
point.
Honest, and that, again, the warrior, everybody has a warrior spirit within them. How often have you ever said, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. No more. I'm not doing this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start one day at a time, one step at a time. That's the warrior spirit. When you decide to no longer allow something to affect you or be applicable to your life that's having negative consequences, that's a warrior spirit within you saying, okay, I'm not going to allow this anymore. And we all have that. We just have to find our way to find it and then nurture it.
Such a great point and such a great conversation with you, and I'm so glad we had a chance to have it. Again, everyone, Nikki's dad has been our guest. The book is The Warrior Within. You can get it, of course, for yourself to be able to enjoy not only his thoughts but also the conversation with yourself as well. Nikki's dad, let our audience know, how can they stay connected with you and where's the best place to be able to find you and follow you?
I have a website. I have Facebook and Instagram right now, but my website is Nikki's Dad. That's NITKISDAD.com. And I'm looking at doing a blog sometime down the road, but I can respond to emails, messages, et cetera. And I'm trying to post a little bit on there. Facebook, again, is also something I'm sharing right now. Walking the Red Road, which is a Native American spiritual journey. It's like a daily prayer aspect, but it's taking the wisdom of the elders, the indigenous elders, and sharing that with the world. And it's similar to, again, any prayer thing that you might have for a yearly prayer vigil aspect. Instagram is fairly new, but I'm doing that as well.
Right. So we're definitely looking forward to staying connected with you, and definitely, it goes without saying, looking forward to speaking with you again.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Hey, more than welcome, and we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live, and let's go make today amazing. Take care.